medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, it's All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I guess I should be meowing because we're talking to Amy Chodai today. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Oh, it's great to be here, Deborah. And I bark, too. I'm an equal opportunity pet lover.
You know, I had Darlene Arden on once, and she called herself bipetual, and I got a lot of emails about that. So
I just say equal opportunity.
Well, I know you're over near Dallas, and you've written a new book, Lost and Found, a thriller.
Yes. A thriller.
I love the a dog finds his true purpose when he disobeys. Nice one. I love it. It makes me want to read the book. So what's this book like, Amy?
Oh, well, it's great fun. I started out wanting to write fiction and kind of fell into the nonfiction role. I call myself the accidental pet writer. So it was great fun to finally be able to bring the fiction world and kind of combine it with the nonfiction. So this main character is an animal behaviorist.
Okay.
And she has trained a service dog for her autistic nephew. And the dog is not finished training. He's a 9-month-old German Shepherd pup in training. And he goes lost with his 7-year-old child in a blizzard.
Oh, no.
So that's where it starts out, and the dog has his own chapters, so there's dog viewpoint, which is great fun to write. I had the most fun doing that. And then the main character, September is her name. She has her own baggage and backstory and a lot of conflict going on there. And her sister, the mother of the little boy, don't really get along. And so there's a lot of – and mayhem ensues. It's a lot of fun.
Know, there were some stories last year in the news, one in Australia, I think, and another in the south in the U.S. near Tennessee somewhere, where kids, just like this, Down syndrome kids, though, in these cases, I think, went missing. And the only reason they survived was because the family dog stayed with them. I remember it stood out in my mind so much. So it's plausible.
It absolutely is. And these people asked me what research I had done for the book. And actually, my own German Shepherd comes from a local breeder, one that I absolutely adore. And she has placed service dogs with autistic families for training and gave me some resources to look up and to do some research there. And it's fascinating how the dogs really know what's going on with the children or with their human partners. And what's touching in this situation is the young puppy, this 9-month-old, actually adolescent dog, really, really wants to belong to somebody, wants to experience that human animal bond, that connection, and he feels very responsible for taking care of this little boy, but there's no connection there because as an autistic child, he has his own issues. And so there's kind of a disconnect there. So you have...
That's a tricky part of the training. It really is, right?
Yes.
I mean, they get this dog. A lot of times it's a dog who's kind of flunked out, if you will, of the Seeing Eye Dog program when it's here in Vancouver, BC, Canada. This is what happens. They go to Guide Dogs of BC. And if they're almost good enough to be a Seeing Eye Dog, but maybe they like people too much or they like children too much or there's something that holds them back, they can sometimes be retrained as autistic dogs. And they go and help autistic kids. But it's really hard when every other kid in the family is more likable from the dog's point of view.
Well,
really.
And that is a big issue because as you're aware, children that are on the spectrum, there's such a wide variance in their needs, in their behaviors, in the challenges their families face. I'm very, very touched. A lot of the responses that I've got in reviews are from people that have autistic family members saying that I gave a realistic, the story actually portrayed autism in a realistic light, that there is no easy answer, that there are challenges, that this a dog is not for every family, and that training, as you know, Deborah, it's not a we train and we're done. It's a daily ongoing evolution and what needs arise. And so it's, for me, it's all pure fiction. So that's, that kind of gives me the ability to kind of go off on these wild hairs, but it's based on science and based on fact. And so the premise there is not only is this little boy lost with the service dog, but there is also a medical treatment that he has been placed in, and it's not going so well, and they need to find him, or worse things are going to happen from a health standpoint. And then, of course, the people who have given him the medication are you know, the bad guys, and they're trying to protect themselves. So there's all of these other issues going on, and I know from being a vet tech how often human medications are used off-label in animals, although they've not had FDA, studies and approval. The same is true for many children. It's too expensive to do FDA studies and go all through all of that. The testing procedures can take years. And so it's not uncommon to have off-label medications for children. And that's kind of the premise of this book. Of course, again, it's all fiction, but it could happen.
Yeah, it could happen.
And that gives you chills.
Well, we're going to come back after break and talk a little more about some other things you're doing, some other more books and your blog. But before we do that, I just want to tell people, got a couple of minutes left, what a dog that serves an autistic kid would do. An example is sometimes they're trained that the dog will lie down as opposed to allow the kid to run into traffic. The dog will actually use its 80 pounds of body weight and hit the dirt and lie down like a big old anchor in the mall, in the parking lot, wherever it's necessary so the kid is car safe. So that's one example. Amy, can you give us some more examples of something these dogs would do? Because I think people maybe have trouble picturing a lot of it's social things, right?
A lot of it is social things. Now, in the case of German Shepherds, of course, they were bred to be movable fences. And what happens often with autistic children is they wander off, and it's very difficult to keep an eye on them. As in this case, the little boy went out the gate, you know, and the dog went with him because he's not yet fully trained. But in many cases, the service dog can help contain the child, keep him within boundaries, or alert an adult that something is going on. They can also, oftentimes, if there is medication that the child needs to take, they can alert, or the adult needs to take, they can help the autistic person as a reminder, now it's time to do this, now it's time to do
all
that.
All right, everybody. We're talking with Amy Choje, and we're talking about Lost and Found, a thriller. And we'll be back after the break. I want to tell you about a chihuahua that took on a pit bull. And you might think that's like Bambi versus Godzilla. Well, you'd be wrong about that. It's a happy ending. We'll talk soon. Stay tuned on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf.
I'm your doggy, and I love you. And you know that I need you too.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 national nutrition awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hey pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Hello. We're back on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Believe it or not, I've been listening to barks and howls and meows from our guest. Come on now, Amy. Give me another meow. Let them hear how good.
Wow. See that? Wow. Yes, I've been practicing. I'm channeling my inner kitty.
That's not happy cat, though. That's pissed off cat.
Well, actually, it depends on, you know, my cat, I call her my Siamese wannabe, and she talks constantly. She's 16 now, so now her meows have gone from meow to wow.
Yes, oh yes. She's a diva now. This is Amy Shojai talking to us on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we were just talking about dogs that help autistic kids. And I mentioned to you, I thought you should know that a Chihuahua went up against a pit bull. It was in the news. Unfortunately, a little girl got hurt. Little girl was visiting her grandparents. They knew there was an aggressive dog next door. She knew not to go near the dog next door. The dog next door was always muzzled. And the dog next door, of course, without social skills, without knowing who's a friend and who's an enemy, got out without the muzzle, as they do, and attacked the little girl. The little girl ended up really seriously in hospital. Lots of stitches. We'll have to have repeated surgeries. The only reason she's not worse or dead is because when the pit bull attacked her, her Chihuahua stood up to it. I'm not kidding you. This Chihuahua looks like just a fat little thing with a tiny little head. Looks like it couldn't hurt a fly when at it, and just distracted it and distracted it and distracted it until the adults could come out and catch the dog and get the girl to hospital. So I guess we've got a Chihuahua eating filet mignon for the rest of its life, wouldn't you say, Amy?
That's perfect. And you know, those little dogs, they don't know what their size is. That we call, you know, the Napoleon complex. It's like, this is my yard. This is my kid. Get away. That's great. That's great. I'm so glad that she's going to be okay eventually. That's such a sad situation.
Yeah. And you know, there was another time a couple years ago, I mentioned a pit bull in the news, and that pit bull was loose and went up to a person pushing a kid on a swing in a parking lot, in a playground. And what happened was the pit bull was watching this person, and what happened was the woman with the kid got assaulted, and she was being attacked and shoved into her car when this dog, who didn't even know her, attacked the guy and stood with her till the police came. So
fantastic.
It's not always the pit bull that's the bad guy. A well-trained dog of any kind is going to keep everybody safe. So I don't kind of want to leave it at that. But you know what? If your dog isn't well-trained and isn't socialized, you should be doing something about it. Right, Amy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, socialization is so important from an early, early age. And understanding your pet's communication skills. Dogs and cats do not communicate the same way we do. We had this big issue a few months back about it was a promotion, a big national promotion of a a brand that should have known better saying, Hug Your Dog Day. And I was going, oh, my gosh, don't tell people that. Oh, my goodness. Hugging
yeah.
is...
Get I'm bit in the face day is what
exactly,
that is.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's so, contain your dog, attack your dog, make your dog feel submissive to you in the worst way. And if your dog loves you and is used to this and you've hugged it all its life, it's not going to care. It understands that you have poor dog communication.
Yes.
And
yes.
you think that attacking is cuddling. But if you don't know a dog and you go to hug it, you're attacking it. You got to stop that thinking.
Well, and especially, Deborah, is, you know, with children that are face height, you know, tooth height to dogs. This is, it's very dangerous. You know, we as primates, hugging is natural to us, but dogs and cats are not primates. And you hug, I mean, how many people pick up a cat? My little cat, you pick her up, she's 6 pounds of ferociousness, and she will push off. She does not want to be hugged, does not want to be held. It's all, you know, it's very much we have to listen to what our animal companions are telling us and communicate on their level. We're supposed to be the higher intelligence species. We need to act that way.
I think observation and imitation helps us a lot. If you just watch your cat, watch your dog, do what they do, imitate it, you're going to have the right body language. Because I think there are some cats who want to be held. There are some dogs. You know, there's some golden retrievers who crawl right on your lap and demand to be hugged. So it really does depend on your pet. But you can tell, right? If you watch
it. You can.
Them.
You can tell. Now, I wouldn't recommend imitating everything. For instance, you know, the kitty that jumps on your lap turns around and presents her tail to be sniffed. I'm not sure that that's something we want to go that far. But, I mean, that's a kitty howdy that that humans don't necessarily want to reciprocate. But you can find alternative ways to say howdy, maybe give a little elevator butt scratch there that they like that a lot.
Well, if you notice your cat rubbing its face against your leg, you might want to pet it on that very spot that it's rubbing because you know it wants contact there. Or in the case of the cat which gives you its bum and it sort of flicks its tail at you, touch its tail with your finger just the very end. That's what it wants. You know, they're sort of letting us know. If your cat or dog leans in harder when you're petting it, it wants more pressure. If it moves slightly away, it wants less pressure. I mean, this is really easy to read, but most of us just don't bother paying it. And then we pet our cat too hard, too long, and it's before long, it's biting us to say, enough already, enough. You know, that's what I see all the time. And then they say, but my cat hates being cuddled. No, it just likes it gentle, or it just likes it rough, or, you know, depending on the cat. And a brush will go a long way, too. Take out a brush and see. They'll lean into it most of the time. Don't you find, Amy?
It really does. You just basically listen to your cats and your dogs, and they're going to tell you a lot about what they want. You know, my latest book just came out in print version. It's been in audiobook and ebook before, but it's called Compet-ability, Solving Behavior Problems in Your Multi-Cat Household. And it talks a lot about the most common behavior issues in your cat family, because most households now, if they've got one cat, they probably have two.
And if they've got two cats, they have issues usually. I find if they have two or three or four cats and they don't have three or four or five litter boxes, so one more litter box than they have cats, then they have issues. And you
right.
know what? We can come back and talk about that. We're running out of time in this segment. So if you've got cat problems, cats that are not using the litter box, cats that are eating your plants, we have a few emails here from people with problems, Amy.
Okay.
Would you be so kind?
Absolutely. Love it.
All right. All right. All Paws Pet Talk listeners, we've got Amy Shojaei taking your questions coming up after the break. Okay, but I'm going to ask you a question, Amy. I don't expect you to get this. This is a bit of a silly question, but it's something out of the news. What medicine... because you were talking about medicines used sort of irregularly or differently than they're intended. Okay, what medicine do you think, and I'll ask you to wait and tell us after the break so everybody can think about it. What medicine do you think is meant for something else now, but is also used for jet lag, altitude sickness, athlete's performance, and panda bears? Okay, everybody. That's a tough one, I know, but it's meant for something else. It's sold for something else. So we'll be back on All Paws Pet Talk Radio to tell you about that and also to solve some of your kitty emails that came in. I love your movable fence German Shepherd. Sometimes I go and I see bearded collies or border collies or even Wheaton Terriers that are running in front of the children and lying down, and the people are like, why does this dog keep tripping us?
Yes.
That's why.
That's it.
And you can teach it to heal. All of it's possible. You've also got puppies and books about, well, you've got your blog. I don't know if I can even say that on air. Yes, I can, because it's a female dog. Bling Bitches and Blood. See, I can't even say that on air.
That's say that your blog. Five times, yes.
Bling Bitches and Blood. My blogs bite me. So
That's great.
Yeah, so you can find Amy on Facebook, on Twitter. It's Amy Shojai, or you can look for her at Bling Bitches and Blood. Oh, my God. You do it.
Bling Bitches and Blood.
There we go. There we go. All right, we'll be back to solve your cat problems at All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Anytime you're near, I love
you. When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy. As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Hello, you're back on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf. And I told you about the news. There's this weird thing going on in the island of Madagascar. No, it's not a cartoon. They've actually been overrun with locusts. And I saw it in the news, and it's so frightening. It's going to devastate their agriculture. It's going to put so many people into famine and animals. It's just a horrible, horrible thing. And it's like I've never visually seen something like this, sort of biblical, like the plagues. It's just amazing to think of what that would do. And then I think of the pine beetle. There's so many things threatening our earth and our animals and us too. So we got to pay attention to these things and see what we can do. Sometimes animals get relocated because of human disaster, war, or disasters like this, and then put back again afterward so that they don't go extinct. So hopefully we'll be doing some of that proactive management to keep the variation of species all right. There's a lot of things in Madagascar. All right, everybody. So we're back, and we're going to be talking with America's Canine Academy, the dog whisperer from America's Canine Academy. We're talking to Mark. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Well, thanks, Deb. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So I've got a whole whack of information here about your company. And one of the things that comes up right away is dog whisperer. Okay, so what's that mean, really? What's a dog whisperer?
Well, I know we get into that a lot because of Cesar Millan on his show on TV. And, you know, all it is an advanced knowledge of dog, the canine species. And what we don't do, we normally say what we don't do is do obedience. We don't care what the dog does. What we're doing is dealing with humans, really. So,
okay,
you know,
so that's a bit of a shift. So, okay, that changes you from Caesar, because often when we see Caesar on TV, we see him working with some dogs and the humans only in it in the end. You're saying you're working with the humans?
We hardly ever have to work with the dogs once the humans change what they've been doing.
So do you couple a human with an already trained dog and get the dog to train the human? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we go in there, and that's why my hair is gray. We go in and change what you have been doing for 20 years or 30 years or the past 6 months. It doesn't matter. If you continue to do what you're doing, let's say, to your dog at the time a doorbell rings, you're pulling them back, you're yelling at them, you're kneeing them in the chest, you're throwing things at them, you're squirting. If you just quit doing that and do something else, it'll change the dog.
Okay, and the something else would be tell him he's good for barking and then tell him to come over and lie down, something like that?
If he's, let's just say your dog up there is barking out the window at a deer, an elk. If you go over to the window and look out and walk away, what you've told him in his language is that you've checked it out and you've left. There's no danger, if you would. But by yelling and screaming at your dog for barking out the window, then you're telling him it's okay, I'm going to do it with you.
And you do see that. You see these dogs where the people are yelling, shut up, and the dog is barking, and they're just, shut up, they sound the same, don't they?
Well, if you had a really noisy classroom, is the teacher going to keep screaming?
No.
Somebody's got to settle everybody down.
Right.
And you're not going to do it by screaming and yelling. And, I got into this. This is a, if you would, this is a profession. It's just not dog training. It's not dog behavior, if you would. It's not the click and treat. It's changing people from what they're doing to help that species, which is a canine species, not a breed. It's a canine species that we're trying to help. I'm not trying to help a breed. I'm trying to help a dog.
Well, so are you telling me that you would train a nervous chihuahua the same way you'd train an overconfident giant schnauzer or love me golden retriever? You train them all the same?
Yes.
Or Doberman with attitude who wants to be in charge? All the same?
Yes, because all those dogs are dogs. They're all different breeds, but they're all Canis lupus familiaris. They're a species, subspecies, if you would, but... And then man made the breed. So I'm not training or treating or helping a breed. I'm helping a dog. And all dogs need certain things. If you think about the dogs in the wild that got us to this point for thousands of years, what have they been doing for thousands of years? I know one thing they do. They have how many leaders in their pack?
Yeah, that's true.
You know one thing, they have to go walk. They have to go walk to hunt for food. I know that. Nothing's going to fly by and die in front of them while they're sleeping. They have to get up and go look for it. So if a real dog out there where these dogs came from have to get up and go look for food to eat, why is it that when our dogs get up, we feed them? And then we walk them to poop them. And then we have to carry a bag of poop back with us with our dog. Why can't we walk them first and then let them come home and lay around and then feed them? Then they can go out in our backyard to do their business. Why is a human trying to change a species? Telling them, no, you need to do it this way. I'm just doing it their way. Now I'm teaching this to others. And other people are doing things like fire extinguishers to stop a dog from being aggressive. Or choke chains or anything else. It doesn't. All you got to do is provide the four things the dog needs, in my opinion. There's four of them.
Okay, what are they?
Leadership, because we just said there has to be a leader. Well, the leader's job is to protect and provide. That's why your dog barks at the fence. What do you think he's doing? That's why he barks at the window or the door when somebody comes there. He's barking for a reason. He's protecting. There can't be two leaders, and if he's doing this, you can't be doing it. If he's pulling you on a leash, if he's out front on a leash, that's a leader. So he can't be it, and you can be it. You have to change those things. So you need leadership. You need to take him for a walk, because that's how they find food and have for thousands of years. They walk to find it. They didn't run through the forest to look for a dog park. They're looking for food. Supply that need first. Give them that need. I'll take you out and find food. Here it is back here. And if you supply their need, then you can take them to dog parks and water skiing and jet boating, whatever you want to do with them. But But you're
right,
doing
okay.
People are doing these things to their dogs, and their dogs aren't stable. They don't have a leader. That's why Chihuahuas bite. They don't have a leader. That's why Chihuahuas are fearful. And they get toted around all the time. You're comforting their fear. It's okay to be fearful is what you're saying. Not it's okay, it's waste management. They don't understand that. You're rewarding fear, so you're keeping the Chihuahua fearful. I'd put a leash around him, put him on the ground, and start walking. Now he says, oh, I'm a dog. I must be going out hunting. This guy's cool. Versus me forcing a fearful dog to lead me around a mall. See how
okay,
we get
so that's leadership,
trainer?
Exercise with a leash, food. Are we at number four, or was that, how were you?
Well,
you told us there's four things.
Leadership is one. Walk is number two. Walk
okay.
the dog and then feeding.
Okay.
We have to have some rules in the pack, or the pack would just run amok. It wouldn't be a pack. So certain things, certain rules apply. Dogs can't jump on the pack leader. Dogs can't nip at the pack leader or growl at the pack leader.
Right.
And so if you correct those behaviors you don't like your dog doing, then that tells him, oh, okay, because somebody's telling him he can't do that. But you have to do it within their language. You can't yell and scream. And then the last thing is good nutrition. We believe, that because we work with so many rescue dogs, we believe that the best nutrition we can give them at that moment is going to be the best for them.
I have a question for you, because we got an email just while we were waiting to come on air today, and it was sort of odd, but since you mentioned the deer in your example, this goes with it. I got a whole bunch of emails about deer. The dog chases deer. The dog eats deer poo. And the neighbor's dog, if the dogs are together when the guys are out walking or biking, they're friends and bunch of dogs and a bunch of people all live in the same area. If they meet up and the dogs meet up, they'll sort of pack up and chase deer. And when they do this, they kill the deer and they bring it back to the one house on the block that is vegan. And the dogs leave the deer in front of the vegetarian's doorstep. So this is neighbor peace we're talking about here. The dogs are not supposed to chase deer. They can get shot for this. What they want to know what they can do. And they sent me this email just coincidentally when you were coming on air today. So what would you suggest for these people? The dogs are, in the rest of their email, they say there's no other problems as far as come and heal and listening and everything. It's just the hunting that's kind of been triggered in these dogs. And they're different types of dogs. One of them's a pit bull cross. One of them's a lab cross. But they're all different dogs. They're just a neighborhood group of otherwise friendly dogs.
All right. Well, they're not taking it to that neighbor's yard out of spite, you know. That's just where they dragged it to, and that's a neutral territory.
Okay.
Because they're not
okay.
dragging it to their homes.
They don't think she needs protein, huh? They don't think that, hey, you don't have any meat in your freezer. Here, have some.
No, because those people don't feed them. Who's causing the problem is the owners of the dogs. For one, letting them roam like that without, if you would, supervision. They wouldn't let the grandchildren come over and go out in the woods like that. I don't think,
sure.
But maybe they do in Canada. I don't know.
This is actually an American. This is not a Canadian who sent this. But interesting that you think that. But no, this is somebody on the American side of the border. We've run out of time, but we're coming back for another segment.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo. to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Hello, you're back on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with your host, Deb Wolf, and I'm talking with Mike from America's Canine Academy, and we're answering your questions. We have an American email question, not Canadian, about some dogs packing up and bringing down venison. And some people listening would say, well, what's wrong with that? That's awesome dog, good dog, putting food on the table. Okay, but if you don't want this, Mark, what can they be doing?
Well, I mean, it would be the same thing as if your dog was chasing the cat in the neighborhood.
So, you know what? We've got a question about that coming next. We've got somebody whose dogs are nice to the cats when they're around, but chase the cats when they're not around. So I think these problems are pretty related, aren't they?
Yeah, it's just a prey drive in a canine that they're going to do it. But one reason they do it is because in the wild, there's somebody leading them. Well, at their house, there isn't. So they'd feel more comfortable out there in the wild, if you would, doing what they're supposed to do versus being at home with a big bucket of food on the back porch. If people are free-feeding their dogs who are escaping, the reason for that is the dog doesn't wake up and eat food. He doesn't eat food all day long, from midnight to morning. There's not a big bucket of food laying around them. They have to go find it, and they'd rather go find it. That's what they've done for thousands of years. So if these people would take their dogs for a walk, we call it walk, rest, feed. So walk your dog and then rest him and then feed him and then pick it up. He won't go chasing because he'd rather do what's natural, which is like you just did. You took him hunting. He'd rather do that, but he's just doing it because you're not.
So tell me about this mantra of yours. Mark, tell me about this mantra of yours. It's all about the energy. What does that mean?
Well, again, that's like your dog's barking at the window, and instead of, I mean, if you heard a noise in the middle of the night and your wife wakes you up and says, I think I hear something, you're not just going to sit up in bed and say, shut up. You're going to get up and look and see if somebody's breaking into your house, I hope. But if you would get up and go look and then get back in the bed, honey, there's nothing wrong. Okay, well, I feel better now. Your dog's barking at the window to tell you somebody's here. Mom, the milkman's here. Well, don't yell at Johnny for telling you. So it's an energy of quit yelling. We don't even have to talk to a dog. What are we going to say to him? It's a canine. So it's not about a talk. It's about an energy that somebody's in charge, knows what he's doing, knows where they're going, corrects the dogs, the pack, and provides and protects them. Then the dog will follow you anywhere.
I see that you've got a pretty provocative title. Your first book, There's Hope, came out several years ago. But now your new book, I'm not even sure I can say it on air, It Happens. Okay. So why did you call it that?
It's called Shh Happens.
All
it
right.
It doesn't have the IT.
It doesn't?
No, you're reading it wrong. It's like in a movie theater, if you had to tell somebody to be quiet that was talking on the phone.
Okay.
You would just shh them.
Right, okay.
And it doesn't, and you know, in humans, it means to like quiet down. In a dog, that's representing a growl, because a pack leader would growl at his pack. I mean, two dogs would growl at each other. Everybody's seen it. But that growl that's natural for a dog to warn is our growl, if you would, and it's the easiest thing I could come up with. And just, that's it. The dog will stop it. that you can yell at a dog and create more excitement. But a shh and walk away creates no excitement, and the dog immediately understands what that is because it's a different energy.
We
versus
do have
yelling, screaming, yelling.
Mark, we have an email coming through right now from someone that's the same person with the dogs chasing the cats, and they say that their dogs do not chase the cats when they're around, but if they leave the room even for a second, sometimes if there's more than one dog in the room, even though they're best friends with the cats, they'll actually chase them and hurt them. What can they do?
Well, they probably have a herding breed or a terrier breed. That's what they were bred to do, if you would, but if it was me, I would just put a simple little leash on the dog and take him around with me when the cats are around. And if they tried to do anything toward the cat, I would correct the dog at that moment.
Yeah, they're saying when they're present, the dogs are good as gold. They'll cuddle with the cats. Everything's good. But if they get up to take a phone call or go to the bathroom or leave the room for any reason, it's like all hell breaks loose. So as long as they're in the room, everybody's perfect. What can they do?
Again, I would take the dog with me so I know he couldn't do anything to the cat. But again, they haven't corrected the cats in the moment because they can't catch the cat or the dog in the moment.
Right.
So I would take the dog with me so, one, nothing can happen. And two, if he did try something, I could correct him at the moment.
But how do you get from the point, because I think, you know, they're at the point where if they're there, the dog's good. How do they stage it so they can correct the dog for chasing the cats when they're not in the room? You know what I mean? Because there's like a missing step here.
Right, and that's my point about shows on TV. I can do a wow factor and then leave, but then immediately, guess what's happening again?
Okay.
So what we have to do is go in and teach the people to do four things: leadership, walks, rules, and good nutrition. If they do those things like we teach it, then tell me if your cat's or your dog's still chasing your cat. But until they've changed stuff, just going up and you know, doing something at that moment's not going to change anything because you haven't become anybody. You're still the same old pack member, but somebody's in charge. People with multiple dogs know that there's a big dog in charge somewhere in their house.
They
can point out. If I say, who's the leader, they'll all point to Blackie.
Well, but don't you find that there's a male-female split? I find when your pack is big, there's a female in charge of the house and a male in charge of the exterior. That's what I find happens. They break off.
Well, again, there can only be one leader. Now, what you're doing there, and people do this, if they have two dogs that's fighting, they'll separate them. Now, one's outside and one's inside. Now you have two territories, like two gang members or two gangs. And one can't go out there and that one can't come in here. So now they start their own little packs and always constantly fighting. It's one pack with one leader. One, the second one, I call him the babysitter. He's the one that used to be the leader that I came in and said, you're fired. But he's still not allowed to growl, bark, bite at, jump, hump the pack. That's my job. If he did that, I would correct him. It's none of your business. But if I'm gone, he's kind of the leader, if you would, the babysitter. But he's still not allowed to do that stuff that he used to do before I came into their house. But the people have to do four things. You can't just go and do that. I mean, I can tell you about the barking at the window. Just go look out and leave. Walk away. Walk to your bedroom. That dog will follow you. He'll stop barking and follow you. Next time your dog barks at the window, try it. It's just doing it for the right reason. You're going over there to look to make sure nothing is there. But there isn't, so you're leaving. You're not making it worse by going over and screaming and grabbing him and pulling him and locking him in another room.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left, so can you tell people how to reach you at America's Canine Academy?
Well, it's americascanineacademy.net. We have a toll-free number, 877-WE-WHISPER.
All right.
Because I'm always recruiting for people who want to do more for dogs than teach them to sit.
Well, and I can see that you've got a connection with Hounds Helping Heroes Heal, H4. And for those of you who want to see the good work they do, check it out online. Thank you so much for joining me today, Mark.
All right. Well, thank you, Deb, for having me. And, again, we're just trying to educate people that there's another way of doing what people have been doing wrong for hundreds of years. But it's just different. It's not hard. It's just different.
Well, thanks for joining us on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. It's nice to have a trainer on who isn't recommending shocking collars, electrics, and prongs. A little bit more getting inside the head of the dog. So it's been a pleasure to have you on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, everybody, stay tuned. Next week, we'll be back with more dogs and cats and more answers to your problems. Send them to allpawspettalk.com, and we'll solve your problems. This is Deb Wolf on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near.